Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast may contain adult themes, strong language, and stupid health advice. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back.
Hello.
To In Bad Taste, where we cast a critical eye over health documentaries and the claims they make. I am your host. I'm fucking tired of this movie. I'm registered nutritionist Pixie Turner, and as usual, I am joined by the wonderful
cardiothoracic surgeon Dr. Nikki Stamp. Now, I just realised, for those of you, well, no one would know because I don't think we've ever told them this before, but I script the intro, which means that I just scripted for Pixie to call me wonderful. Can I be any more of a wanker?
I love that. I love it though.
I'm sorry. That was very arrogant of me.
Hey, there was no objection from me, was there?
Still. Look, as you know, each month we watch these god-awful health films and break them down over four episodes. We also have breakdowns of our own over four episodes, but we've decided to tackle Pete Evans' documentary, The Magic Pill. Now, remember that we are watching these so that you don't have to. Please, please don't watch them.
Yeah, definitely don't. Otherwise, we will have sacrificed our well-being for nothing. As you know, we've taken a break recently, and this is what we decide to come back with.
Why?
Yay.
Look, well, thankfully, though, we have had a break because I don't think we could have done this off the back of last year's efforts. After, you know, no. Butt coffee and vegan bonus and all those kinds of things, we've stepped away from plant-based documentaries and we've decided to tackle the magic pill. This week, though, we've got some really interesting topics to chat about, I think.
Yeah, we have some interesting shit to talk about. Don't we always have interesting stuff to talk about? I feel like every episode is interesting. At least I find it interesting. But anyway.
If you disagree with that statement, you can keep that to yourself.
Yes, you absolutely can. We don't need to know. We're fine. Yeah, we're just fine not knowing. It's all good.
Everything's amazing. Yep.
But tribalism and conspiracy theories in nutrition and health is a serious problem. In case you hadn't noticed, there's kind of a lot of conspiracy theories in the documentaries that we've mentioned. It's there's definitely not been a scarcity of conspiracy theories in our conversations around all of these documentaries so far. But this whole tribalism in nutrition, in food, and I mean, by nutrition food, I mean both people who are practicing and people who are eating. So kind of everyone, I guess. It is problematic. It's a mess where food becomes a part of someone's identity to the point where it becomes incredibly ingrained and someone can't possibly see past that because it's kind of a sunk cost fallacy. There's kind of an identity issue. There is an echo chamber. There's confirmation bias. There's the appeal to nature fallacy. There is the survivorship bias. I'm doing this off the top of my head and I've run out of things, but there is a lot already going on there with that.
Yeah, no, that absolutely is. I think that the cognitive, the thinking errors that happen around these nutrition tribes is problematic. But I think the one that I think is relevant to this month's film and the one that sort of pricked my ears up the most is this idea of identity, right? Low carb, there are some real low carb zealots, I think it would be fair to say. They like
accurate.
Yeah. And they really, really believe in the power of low carbohydrate diets, not just for specific indications. They believe in it for everybody. And, you know, we heard a lot about that in this film. You know, we heard about the persecution of Gary Noakes. Wasn't a persecution. It was, you know, an appropriate investigation.
Him.
Yeah, him. You know, we heard about diet.
I hated that entire section. It was awful and painful because he's such... Oh, why do I describe him in a way that doesn't get me into trouble?
I think it's fair to say that his opinions have been called into question appropriately. I think that's what we can say about him. Look, you know, there is a lot of persecutory beliefs, right? That the low carb community, or the low carb people featured in this film. I don't want to say the low carb community. I know hashtag not all low carbers, but you know, the people featured in this film do sort of talk a lot about the persecution of themselves, their community, for their beliefs. Noakes is one of them. You know, there's a lot of, you know, anyone who has dared to speak up against the dietary guidelines, because remember, they say that the dietary guidelines are making us more ill, which has been disproven, by the way. Has been disproven. You know, the more people follow the dietary guidelines, the better their health is. I will put that reference in.
Yeah. That's not to say that they are completely, completely perfect.
Correct. Yes, exactly.
But they're not deliberately making people worse.
No. But I think what I'm trying to get to in a roundabout sort of way is that I think that this identification with a group is very central for a lot of people from various nutrition tribes. And I definitely notice it a lot in low carb people. It is very central to who they are. And therefore, when you question, even if you do it, you know, cautiously, professionally, appropriately, when you question what they're saying, it feels like an attack on their very core, their very existence. So, you know, you're attacking their whole person, their whole being, rather than saying, actually, I'm not 100% sure that what you're saying is accurate. Can we talk about that?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Rather than it being a, let's have a conversation about why you're eating what you're eating, it then becomes a, you are attacking the core of what makes me me. And people, understandably, get very, very defensive when they feel their identity and their core of them as a person is being attacked. Yeah. And it is, I mean, it might sound a bit drastic what we're saying, but it's very exemplified in our language, for example, where we say, I am vegan, I am keto. We say, I am this, rather than just, I eat this. I eat this would be, this is just something that I do, whereas I am is an identifying statement. It's the difference between saying, I told a lie and I am a liar.
Yeah.
There is a very big difference between those two
and
things.
And you know, a lot of people who subscribe to a dietary tribe, I think you see this a lot on social media, the vegan doctor, the low carb doctor, you know, it becomes a real defining characteristic of who you are. It really precludes us from having, I think, well-rounded, robust conversations about the evidence. And I think it's concerning.
Yes. Yes. For me personally, if I see that someone has a social media handle that includes a specific dietary label, I'm not inclined to trust them as easily. Yep. And I am going to be more likely to think, this person's probably not objective.
Yes.
And that, I think, is not an unreasonable stance to take.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine having a doctor saying, I am a this type of surgery doctor, or I am like, I'm the metformin doctor. Like, you'd just be like, whoa, how do I know that you're going to give me the medication, the prescription that's right for me, rather than just the same thing that you clearly want to give everybody?
Yes.
We would find that very dodgy when it comes to medications, but for some reason when it comes to food, we see it as just, oh, this person's just really passionate and really into what they're doing. When it comes to, yes, passion with food is a good thing, but not at the expense of objectivity and rationality.
Do you follow, I'm going to give you an example of someone who does this really well. Do you follow Danielle Bellardo? She's a doctor. She's a cardiologist from the US.
I think I do on Twitter.
Yes. Yes, you
Not
do.
Not on Instagram,
yeah.
but on Twitter.
So
yes.
Danielle, who is very bright, very lovely. So she follows a vegan diet, right? And she's a cardiologist and she's very, you know, one of her interests is in preventative cardiology. But she is someone who I think we're probably going to be talking about the same tweet. She basically tweeted out one day that she's like, look, I am vegan. I follow a vegan diet. This is who I am. It dawned on me though, that for me to basically project my personality and my personal choices onto patients is inappropriate. So she follows a vegan diet. She's an advocate for it. She thinks, you know, for everyone increasing the amount of plant-based foods that we eat in our diet. She's trying to teach me how to cook tofu properly.
That's a skill.
That's a challenge is what that is. So challenge for me, not because tofu is like irretrievable. It's a challenge for me. This is one of my personal shortcomings. But, you know, she is someone who does it well. She... being vegan is an important part of her life, but she doesn't, you know, force it down the throats of everybody else, right? And I think if you don't follow her, I think it's really worth following her, partly because she might teach you how to cook tofu properly, but also because I think she really is an example of a health professional who recognizes where her own beliefs and wants and needs can impact on patients and therefore addresses it appropriately.
Yeah, absolutely. And we need more people like that. We need so many more people like that because it is a problem. I think it is a problem. And it puts people into these different dietary camps where they get stuck in their echo chambers.
Yep.
And it just doesn't lead to a lot of productive conversation. It leads to a lot of personal attacks and it's not helpful. I mean, look, what we're definitely not saying is that food can't be part of identity, yep. because I think food can be an incredibly important part of cultural identity, yep. in particular. And they give such a wonderful example of this in the movie in terms of the work, the program with the Aboriginal Australians, mm-hmm. because food is such an important mm-hmm. part of cultural identity. It is for maybe not the British, but for literally almost
like
everybody
tea.
Else. Because but that's not technically British.
No, that's
is it?
True.
Everything that is actually, I mean, I personally can't think of anything that is seen as a part of the British
Scones?
Food identity that is actually British.
Clotted cream.
I'm pretty sure we stole that from somewhere else as well.
Bastards.
Basically, the British food culture is just stealing from other food cultures. And I'm British, I can say that, okay? I have a British passport, I can say that. But generally speaking, for most people, food is a really important part of cultural yep. identity. And, you know, if you are living in a different country if you're living in a different country to the one you grew up mm-hmm. in, for example, or where your family live, then consuming the food that reminds you of where you grew up or reminds you of your family of origin, mm-hmm. for example, can just feel really wonderful and mm-hmm. comforting and can actually really help with things like loneliness, for yep. example, sometimes, and just reaffirming your identity as a person, which can be really
yes.
lovely. So that is a really wonderful part of food being identity. But with these chosen dietary tribes, it's... that's where, for me, I see it as problematic.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I think it's important to divorce yourself, your identity, that is, from science. If you're going to be giving advice that is sort of contingent on an understanding of science and an ability to interpret that science as a body of evidence, not just by the things that support your worldview, then you have to be able to divorce yourself from those two things, okay? I know that's hard to do, you know, and I think, you know, veganism is a really good example of this. I know this is a very meat-heavy documentary, but veganism is a really good example of this, particularly for people who pursue a vegan diet for ethical reasons. Like, I think then having veganism as your identity is, you know, is something that's very important to who they are because it portrays a sense of, you know, ethical behavior. But if you want to start talking about the science of vegan diets, whether it be for health reasons or sustainability reasons, you need to be able to put that aside to have a discussion, to be able to look at and face the evidence that doesn't support that view. And the same goes for low carb, keto, carnivore, whatever. Even for, you know, I think it's fairly safe to say that we are nutritionally agnostic. We don't really support any particular way of eating, you know, horses for courses, basically. But, you know, I think even for that. That's
a great expression.
I've
never heard that before and I love
it. Did I just uncover myself as like a 70-year-old Australian woman? Such a nana thing to say. But anyway, you know, I think even for us to say that, we, you know, we actually do need to divorce our kind of lack of giving a shit about any one diet in particular and take that into consideration when we talk about other people's diets and when we talk about the evidence, you know. But anyway, I guess evidence, I think, moving on is, and this is another really broad-based discussion. It doesn't just apply to this film, but I think there's a few times in this film when they really try to convince us that they are looking at the evidence like nobody has before, and their interpretation thereof of the evidence is so much more important. You know, the film starts out with the usual bullshit disclaimer. While we emphasize the science behind dietary advice, they didn't emphasize shit. The personal stories portrayed in the film are anecdotal, and we make no claims that these experiences are typical. I disagree. I think they do make claims that these experiences are typical.
Absolutely.
Always consult with your doctor, who we will spend the next 2 hours running down as a quack who is, you know, at the behest of Big Pharma. Always consult your doctor or health professional before starting any new diet.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
We've discussed this before. I think we discussed it with the Game Changers. We know there is evidence to suggest that these kinds of warnings don't work. They spend the whole film trying to tell us that their film constitutes evidence. Pete Evans tells us that the only skill he has is being able to read evidence. I would hazard a guess that that is not the case. He does not have that as a skill.
Also, I thought he was a chef, so surely if he has one skill, it's cooking.
Right, yeah. You know, some people would disagree with that, but, you know, again, horses for courses. People like what they like, you know, food is individual. But, yeah, I get really pissy about this, but at the same time I don't quite know how to rectify it, how to make things better. Interpreting evidence is really, really hard, particularly when it's presented in this kind of fashion, in a film, in a book, on an Instagram account, in a very biased way. It's very, very hard for people.
Yeah, it is. It is, which is why these documentaries do so well and tend to convince people. I mean, what you're saying there about the disclaimer, the very fact that they can put in such a disclaimer and then kind of do the opposite of what the disclaimer says, that shouldn't be allowed.
No, surely. It shouldn't.
That just shouldn't be allowed.
No, it really shouldn't. I feel like, you know, if you put in that disclaimer, you should actually stick to what you've just said, right? You should have to follow through with your threat to be unbiased, rather than just go. It is a complete 180 to what they said they were going to do to what they actually did, and you know,
because it's not there to provide it's not there to provide a narrative of what's to follow. It's there for legal protection, and that is literally the extent of it.
Right. And, you know, I don't know if it have these things ever been tested, you know, in a court of law, saying you said this, but you did something else, therefore, you know, you are, it's fraud, it's misleading. I don't know. I'm very curious. If anyone knows the answer to that, please let us know. You know, I just it is a joke. And I suppose, you know, we can probably take some comfort in the fact that this film has been removed from Netflix. I think that was, you know, really good. Mind you, they also did commission and produce The Goop Lab, but anyway. But, you know, it is, they're trying to absolve themselves of responsibility, I agree. But then the whole film, like a lot of these films, spends a whole bunch of time presenting cherry-picked evidence in a really attractive package to try and convince people that they and they alone are telling the truth. And I feel like we need to, I mean, this is part of the reason why we're here, but I feel like we need to better protect people to you know, look at this critically and where to find better information. I mean, obviously on our podcast, but, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the funny thing, right, is that we have been saying how we're going to piss all these people off, and we you know, we know how this works by now. We know that that's the case. And, I mean, I hate to be so depressing, but really, isn't it kind of fucked up that these kinds of documentaries, these kinds of very tribalistic, entrenched, biased views, these extreme, these black and white views, are so much more popular everywhere, whereas something that is deliberately trying to be nuanced, to be considered, to be an acknowledgement of the evidence and not black and white, but all the different variations of grey, which is what our intention is with this, is so much more likely to be criticised and not popular because it's not dramatic and exciting.
Yeah.
Which is not, this is not a like woe is us, because we're not doing this for fame and money, let's be honest. If we were in it for the fame and money, we would not be doing this. We would be telling you all about our new range of supplements that you can buy for a 10% discount if you tell your friends, and here's all the wonderful things that it apparently claims to do, which aren't true.
Use code INBADTASTE at checkout for 10% off.
No, it's true. And you've noticed there's been none of that so far.
100%. You know, if I really wanted to, if I really wanted to, I don't know, make a fortune, I would have written two books called The Heart Surgeon's Diet, The Heart Surgeon's Guide to Healthy Living, and created a whole bunch of recipes that I didn't make because I can't cook. You know, that's what I would have done with my life. But yeah, you're right. It's there was a saying, this is a bit of a strange recollection, but at high school there was a saying, I think it was in my religion classroom actually, that said, what's popular isn't always right, and what's right isn't always popular. And I think that's a really good way to think about a lot of the nutritional stuff that comes out and about.
Yes, and how appropriate that it comes from a religion class, when a lot of this, a lot of the narratives and the tribalism and the conspiracy theories and all of this stuff around nutrition isn't based on evidence, it's religious in its narrative. So that's kind of, that kind of fits very well, doesn't it?
I made a link and I didn't even realize it. But, you know, I think, I think that interpreting the evidence is a really challenging skill. Like, you know, at a population level, scientific literacy, that is the ability to look and read scientific evidence and understand it and apply it is not high. And I don't think that that's a criticism of the population. That there's a whole bunch of uneducated idiots running around. That's not the case. I think that this is just a very niche skill that's really hard to come across. And I think in the realm particularly of nutrition science is a really difficult science, right? It's got a lot of unknowns, grey areas. It can be very complex. It can be really hard to investigate, which makes explaining and understanding the science of nutrition even more difficult, I think, for your average punter. And therefore, much, much more open to interpretation and use for nefarious purposes.
Yep. Absolutely nailed it. Look, I don't know about you, but I'm just so done with this. I am so done with this movie. So to wrap it up, the whole documentary is a bit of a mess. It very much jumps from point to point. The through line is hanging by a thread. Are they promoting low carb, paleo, keto, ancestral eating? Are they suggesting all of those the same thing when they're not? You betcha.
It's very confusing.
So can we leave this behind? Because I'm just really done. Can we focus on something else?
Let us never speak of it again.
Yes, please.
Yes. So, which means we need to watch another film.
Oh, joy of joys.
Now, I've seen this film before and I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it because I found it engaging, not necessarily because I agree with the content. But it wasn't awful to watch, where I wasn't like getting to the last half an hour of the film going, I am so bored. Someone please put me out of my misery. So next month we are going to watch That Sugar Film. Oh my gosh, it's Australian too. Are we on a theme? We're on a roll.
Totally.
We're on
an
Australian roll.
Oh, wait. Oh, maybe I haven't seen that one. You know what? I thought that was the one with Jamie Oliver, but I don't think it is it?
No. Oops. Oh, is Jamie Oliver in it? I can't remember. I watched it years ago. It's like, it's well made.
Yeah. Well, clearly we both need to watch it to figure out who's in it and what it's about. But that is what we are going to
Some
be
guy.
Covering next month. Aren't we lucky?
Next month. Oh, we're so lucky. But as always, don't forget to subscribe. Why can I never say that? Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating. Look, I know, like, it sounds like we're begging, and yeah, we are, let's be honest. but you know, we're just a little podcast. It would really mean the world if you could give us 5 stars and subscribe and tell people, so because that's how we get found. That's how we're going to shoot up the charts past the medical medium. That would be very, very helpful. If you have any questions or comments, please get in contact with us on email, inbadtastepodcast@gmail.com. Make sure, as always, that you come and follow us on our socials. Pixie is at Pixie Nutrition. I am at Dr. Nikki Stamp. And as always, we will leave you some references and links in the show notes below.
Mm-hmm. And now we can breathe a sigh of relief because we are done with that. Hallelujah.
I'm eating carbs.
Yeah. Same. Nom, 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 nom. We will see you next month. Next week? Next month? We will be seeing you in the next episode where we are going to be talking about a whole different documentary, That Sugar Film. Ooh, the sugar narrative is back. It's going to be fun. Not, but we do this anyway because it's kind of fun and also not, and it's all a very weird kind of masochism that we're just kind of dealing with and taking to therapy. We will see you then. Goodbye. We'll be right back.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.